Hi, this is Jordan Moreno, and this is The Valley Now, your weekly feel-good hour where we lift each other up with the stories of good people doing good things in your neighborhood. Every week, we'll be talking with community leaders who have a unique passion for our thriving city and those that make The Valley such a special place to live. Get ready to be inspired by the work they're doing, whether it's mentoring our youth, providing a platform for those without one, or just driving those worthy charitable causes. Listen in on the conversations and join us in raising our community. This is our time to shine, and this is The Valley Now. Today, tackling a subject that is becoming more and more prevalent nationwide, but also right here in our community, and that is the structural inequities that just right away close off opportunities to those underserved communities. But Chicanos por la Causa is here to change that. They believe that everyone deserves a seat at the table, and here to talk more about their programs is Maria Jesus Cervantes, who is the VP of Public Relations and International Affairs for Chicanos por la Causa. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Jordan. Thank you so much for inviting us today. Really honored to be here with you.
I'm so curious because there is such a rich history to the organization. So, I mean, can you kind of start at the beginning with how did Chicanos por la Causa come to be, and then take us through that time of there's so much that's happened?
Yes. So Chicanos por la Causa was founded in 1969. So actually in April, we turned 54 officially, 54 years old, and we'll soon be celebrating our anniversary in the fall of this year. We're very excited. And it started as a group of concerned community activists and also students from our Phoenix High School District, as well as ASU, Arizona State University, who saw a pattern that was developing in the community, especially in central, south central Phoenix, where Latinos didn't have access to the same resources and opportunities that the rest of the students and the populations here in the Valley, and has now evolved to now be one of the largest community development corporations that provides over 30 programs and services in 5 major areas where we believe that we need to focus to provide long-term impact. Those 5 areas are advocacy, housing, economic development, education, and then health and human services, which incorporates our social services, which is the many of the services, particularly in Arizona, where we are known for.
And do you mind diving in? Because, you know, when you say, okay, there's 5 major categories, yes. But within those, you know, I was kind of cruising through, even just in the health and human services tab alone, all of a sudden 15, 20 minutes passed. And I was like, oh, wow, there are so many different programs that are offered. Do you mind kind of diving into each of those 5 realms and just giving some insight into where you guys are focusing, even just this year, in each of those?
Yes. So within those 5 areas of focus, we have approximately 30 plus programs and services with a group of nearly 2,000 members of the CPLC Familia across primarily 5 states in the southwestern United States. So that's Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Nevada, and California. We soon to be will be open a office in Mexico City as well, where we created also another separate entity, a nonprofit. The services are meant to incorporate a full array of services that we understand that the individuals and families need to be able to empower themselves to be self-sufficient and then to help others in the community. We empower lives through this 5 areas of impact, as I mentioned, that ranges from in education, Head Start centers, education, adult education. We have also 3 charter high schools, community high schools, 2 in Tucson and 1 in the Valley. We have scholarship programs with the 3 state universities, Arizona State, NAU, and also U of A. We've had the scholarship with ASU for the past 25 years, I want to say, as well as a program to highlight the impact that Latino teachers have in Arizona. And we just celebrated that announcement of the 2023 winners last month of the Esperanza Latino Teacher Awards, where we had the opportunity to give thanks to our supporters, $5,000 to each of the four winners, and then $2,500 to the respective schools. That's only education.
I know.
Then we have
what I'm saying.
The Health and Human Services, which incorporates De Colores, our domestic violence shelter and community outreach-based program. We also have behavioral health clinics. We have treatment, alcohol and addiction treatment residential center. We have housing counseling. We have individual and rental assistance as well. We just announced the creation of a home lending, so a mortgage company that will be able also to provide access to capital for wealth building to new homeowners and existing homeowners as well. We have a CDFI, Prestamos, which provides access to loans and technical assistance from $500 up to, I believe, up $2 million for homeowners, I'm sorry, for business owners and entrepreneurs in Arizona and the rest of the states that we provide services. In terms of advocacy, there is always an opportunity to where we see the need and or where we are asked to participate in our understanding of what the community needs, or when we are approached by community members of some specific issue where we need to make sure that we raise our voice, and then we encourage others to participate in the system. Just last year, we launched a $10 million campaign to increase the Latino voter participation, a nonpartisan campaign to encourage the Latino communities in Arizona to let their voice be heard at the ballots. And we were successfully, in collaboration with other organizations, register new voters and then increase the number of low propensity voters to participate in this year's election. So there is always an area where we feel very passionate that we can incorporate and support through our nearly 2,000 staff and provide the emergency assistance, but also look at long-term solutions to provide the tools necessary for individuals and families to become self-sufficient.
Right. My next question was, how do you do it all? You know, with 2,000 staff, that's a ton, but you're tackling really heavy subjects, everything from human trafficking to how to navigate health insurance or how to navigate the housing world. How do you guys keep it all straight?
You know, we have a 54-year history, and certainly we don't do it alone. Mm-hmm. We are here because of the support of our community. We are here today because of the support and the trust that many partners have had and continue to have in our ability to empower our communities. And so it takes a village to mm-hmm. be able to provide the supports. I was just telling you about the previous guest that you have in your show and the connection that we have with Margie at Mom and then with the Kidney Foundation, that through either community outreach, in fundraising opportunities that we come together. I mean, the 2020 urgency that needed from the nonprofit and the different communities to be able to help our neighbors and friends and the services that they needed during the pandemic was a clear example of what it takes for all of us to come together and support each other. And if anything came out of that experience is that, you know, we are stronger together and that we support each other because we have that primary goal to be able to provide the tools for our community to become self-sufficient and to get out of the emergency situations and then look at the long-term solutions.
Absolutely, yeah. And I kind of jumped right into your programs, but I did want to mention, there's so much behind the name Chicanos por la Causa. Can you give us kind of like what's in a name? It's kind of a rundown there.
Yes. So Chicanos, it's part of the Chicano movement. It's part of the late 1960s movement of community activists of Mexican descent, and particularly in the southwestern United States. Many of our initial founders and some of our members still either are first or second or third generation, or their families have always lived in Arizona, but have that strong connection to their Mexican roots. However, the organization has evolved to serve low to mid-income communities, regardless of their background. Okay. We are deeply rooted in the Latino community. We understand what their needs are. We are there in the neighborhoods, provides to services, but our focus is low to mid-income communities.
Mm-hmm. So not just Latinos anymore.
Yes, we serve everyone.
That's awesome. And where would someone find you if they are in need? I know that you mentioned you have so many community partners. Is that mainly how a family would find you if they were in need?
Well, we have nearly 200 office locations in the 5 states that we currently provide direct services. The majority of them are located in Arizona. You can look up our website at cplc.org, but you can also find us any updates on social media as well to look for the nearest location where, and depending on what services you might need or a specific request that you may have.
What do you think sets you apart from other organizations that are in the human services platform?
Well, I do think that there is, I was just at a retreat with our social service and health human services departments, and we were reflecting on the passion and the commitment of our family, our staff. We see our stories reflect on the needs of our communities. We live within the communities that we serve. Mm-hmm. We have friends, we have family that many times reflect the needs that many of our clients have. I can certainly see the commitment, the passion of those that want to help, whether it would be or provide services, whether it would be helping an individual become a U.S. citizen, or it will be an individual have the opportunity to fulfill the American dream and get mm-hmm. their first home, or an opportunity to understand what resources they have available to live healthier lives away from domestic violence or addictions. And so it's certainly the commitment that we have for the communities that we serve. Mm-hmm. And the diversity behind within our neighborhoods, and understanding that we work and we are better together.
Yeah, and this is something that doesn't just change one person. My husband and I had a conversation over the weekend about changing the trajectory for generations and breaking those generational cycles. And that's truly what you guys are, it's what you're doing day in and day out, is each one person that you're serving, you're changing the lives of generations to come. And that's pretty cool.
It is amazing every time that we introduce ourselves, whether it would be at a meeting or at an event or at our center, and see the connection. Many times I was just interviewing some applicants about 2 weeks ago, and the connection that we have when they say, you know, my mom at one time, decades ago had, and we were able to have the opportunity of someone like you serve. So now I want to work for the organization because I know what you guys do. And I am here today because of what you do. And there is always that connection that personally empowers every day. And I'm just in thinking, you know, this is where I want to be. This is what I want to do. And this is the movement that I want to be part of, that positive change and empowering others. And then hear those stories about how that connection, how that welcome into a center when they need it the most, and the service when they need it, and how that really changed someone else, not that particular life only, but an entire family and many times community, because those individuals become community leaders, they become leaders that are out and throughout our state, remembering those individuals, that organization that was there when they needed it the most, and now they want to give back and pay for it.
It's so rewarding. How did you become involved with the organization? How long have you been with Chicanos?
This August, I'll turn 13 years old.
You'll turn 13.
And yet I'm coming out in my sweet 16. I was a reporter, a local reporter many, many years ago. And so I got to learn about the impact of the organization by reporting about some of the programs and services that they had at the time. And then eventually I happened to have a friend who started working at CPLC, and I asked him for a lunch to meet and regroup. And then hearing him, how excited he was and how happy he was within the organization, really got me thinking. And I went back and I went into the website, and I was like, this is the place that I want to be part of.
And I have a nonprofit background, and I always say that there it is so different, you know, working day in and day out for a nonprofit and that cause, that it's just a different feeling.
It is, and it's very challenging, and it is exhausting many times. I mean, the pandemic really brought that to a whole new level, working literally 24/7, weekends and night, like many of our families did, those that, you know, didn't have any other choice but to get back to work. In our case, I had the privilege of having the ability to work from home. The opportunity to be able to support those that had to be there in the front lines, whether it would be through facilitating a drive-through with food boxes, or providing at the time the COVID vaccine, or supplying, or just being, just listening to the concerns and the fears our families had at the time, and how we're going to get through this, was very important and empowering. And that if we went through that and came out this strong, then there's nothing that as a community we cannot do.
Absolutely. And it's kind of interesting to look back and reflect on those times, you know, day in and day out, you did it because you were in the middle and kind of the eye of the storm. But now looking back, it's as, you know, COVID becomes slightly less prevalent and we're moving forward and kind of going back to what is now daily life. It's interesting to think back on, oh, remember the days, because I remember working with you on the COVID vaccine. And so it's interesting to kind of so much has changed in such a short amount of time, but the whole world is different coming out on this other side. And you, CPLC has an interesting business model that is a blend of nonprofit and for-profit. Can you speak to how that is really sustainable for you?
Yes. So we empower lives by delivering the services to the five impact areas I mentioned before. But we do so to provide the tools for individuals to become individuals and families to become self-sufficient. So we also want to lead by example. We want to make sure that we do our best to be able to sustain the services that we have when the community needs it. And so in order to do that, our leaders, our president and CEO, David Adame, certainly look at the structure of the organization and build upon what other previous presidents and CEO have established, that if we were able to generate some of our funding, then we will be able to provide, then look at providing the rest of our social services for the future. Mm-hmm. And so we are in a situation right now where we have for-profit entities that help support our social services, and we do have a diverse source of funding that incorporates different projects and activities with different partners.
Yeah, which again, just went to show it was absolutely thrown in our face that like this is real life, that you have to be diversified. You know, no matter what, you have to be able to be diversified and to sustain yourself. So congratulations to you guys. That's really an important thing to do.
Thank you. Yes. And it takes the vision of the leaders at the right time, at the right table, to be able to also make the case, but execute. And as we look at the next 7 years, the plan, the strategic plan that we have to be able to continue to support the services that we have, but also look at other communities where there are gaps, and that we can possibly come in to provide those services that they needed as well. So the growth continues to be there, and the mindset that we need to prepare to make sure that we continue to provide the services where and when they're needed.
Can you speak to that the next 7 years? What's on the horizon and beyond for you all?
Well, certainly we are looking at California and Texas and New Mexico to continue to strengthen the services that we have. As I mentioned, there's also the opportunity for us to provide services in Mexico and in the future, and then look at the opportunities that we have to leverage each other's experiences and resources to provide long-term services to local communities. But in terms of the growth in the country, we're also exploring that. As not sure if you have the opportunity to meet our president and CEO, David, but he is a true visionary, and he it doesn't stop. He is constantly looking at opportunities to be able to, one, advocate for the underserved communities that we serve, but also look at gaps where the needs are met. And so I would welcome the opportunity to have him join you in the future to explain about that next 7 years that he has outlined for the organization and the communities we serve.
Yeah, certainly. I would love that. I think I met him at an event once, but it wasn't any sort of long conversation. So I'd absolutely love to dig deeper into that and even into his brain as a businessman. It seems like he's really got that vision, which is amazing.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And at the foundation of it all is, like I said, he lives within the community to understand what the needs are. He he was born and raised 2 miles or a mile away from our main office. So he understands the history of our organization, why it was founded, and why it's important to continue to provide the services that we need. So when he is out there traveling and position CPLC with other communities and introducing CPLC to other leaders across the country, that is certainly in his mind is where we were funded, why, and why it's important to then look at continue to provide sustainable programs.
As you're in the communities, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges that vulnerable populations are facing right now? And in your time, over your time with the organization, have those challenges kind of remained consistent? Have they changed over time?
I believe that the challenges were exacerbated by the pandemic, if I go back. And I think we're continuing to work ourselves from that, whether it would be access to capital to provide the opportunity for business and entrepreneurs to keep their doors open, but also look at their future and their growth, and that energizes our local economies, whether it would be access, equal access to education services. Here we are 54 years later, and that's still one of our main pillars because we understand that education is the economic equalizer. So we want to make sure that those scholarships continue to provide the opportunity for our students to have greater access to not only education, but a better future for them and their families. Health and human services, the pandemic is an example, as we look also the opportunity to provide those emergency services, like a treatment center, the domestic violence center, continue to provide the services out in the community in behavioral health, yes, as well as in homelessness and position the voices of our community as we look at long-term policies into addressing the issues that we have within our local communities.
Mm-hmm. There's so much to tackle. How can we help as a community, and how can we help Chicanos Por La Causa specifically?
Well, there are different ways you can register to receive our monthly newsletter so you can understand the different services and programs that we provide and what you feel more passionate about. And we welcome volunteers to be able to help us support in various ways, whether it would be our centers or a one-time event. Certainly, you can look at our website and click on the Get Involved sections. You can find out different programs and services and what specific where your donation dollars will go towards, or where you prefer for them to go as well. You can select how you can support our programs. This summer, we have summer programs in our centers. We have senior trips from our high schools and adult education, GED, English classes that we're having our centers. So there is always a lot of activity, and there is always a role for a member of our community to help us grow.
That's awesome. And that's all cplc.org, correct?
Yes, cplc.org.
Well, Maria Jesus Cervantes, thank you so much for being on The Valley Now, and thank you for your work in the community. It's amazing. I can barely even wrap my head around it, but it's so wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me and the opportunity to share more about Chicanos Por La Causa.
All right, I want to give a very special thank you to my guests today, and I want to thank you for being a part of the program and making our community an amazing place, not just to live and to work, but most importantly, to play. You can hear The Valley Now on the radio with audio on demand on radio station websites and the Odyssey app. My name is Jordan Moreno. Shine your light, share your love, and join us again next week right here on The Valley Now.